is Jeremy. This is Stuck Granny audio number. What'd you say it was? 428?
Hey, 428.
Does it? Cool. Ah, that's Kevin. I'm Jeremy, as I already said. We're doing the show this week as we are totally perplexed on what just happened on SmackDown Live.
As
the show was on the air, by the way.
I was with you, even though this was a talking segment between Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens. I thought that it was going to be pretty predictable. But the weird addition of a Falls Count Anywhere match, which I do believe in Hell in a Cell, you do need to pin them in the ring, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So...
yeah, you have to be in the ring. But I guess, doesn't that kind of totally eliminate the idea of Hell in a Cell if you can leave the cell? That's what Owen said. He's like, I'll beat you inside the cell. I want to beat you outside the cell. I'm going to throw you off the cell. I mean, it kind of ruins the gimmick of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does a little bit. I think it's been violated enough that people kind of take it for granted. But this one... I guess I feel like normally when they go outside the cell, they don't go around ringside and just completely get away from the cell itself. But they fully seem intent on getting away from the cell itself, which is really weird. Like, why use it then?
Yeah, so why not just make this a no disqualification match? I mean, I guess they're doing it because they have Hell in a Cell, but... okay.
Yeah, well...
SmackDown's so damn weird now.
Well, and it would make more sense for Nakamura and Jinder to be a cell match instead of these two. Anyway, to keep the Singh brothers out. But,
They didn't make that one, okay, Hell in a Cell, did they?
No, they did not. Which is why I bring it up.
I took a shower. As soon as Jinder came on, I took a shower. I said, I don't care. I haven't been on a show in a few weeks. I've just totally soured on the entire Jinder Mahal experiment. I know we've talked about it, we've been talking about it, but...
yeah.
It's not exactly that guy's fault, but goddamn, it's not good for him. And there's no way around it. And after the last... and I don't buy this whole... he's a bad guy. He's going to say bad things.
Oh.
It just seemed cheap. Like, ugh.
Yeah. That was the problem. Like, Kevin Owens in this segment says things that should get you booed. Like,
yeah,
wanting to beat someone everywhere.
Did. Yeah, yeah, sorry, I jumped on Jinder Mahal thing. But yeah, no, I don't get, like, this match is Hell in a Cell. Okay, now it can go anywhere, defeating the purpose of it. And then, what's the other one? Oh, New Day and the Usos.
Yeah.
Which there hasn't really been outside interference, so why the hell is it in Hell in a Cell? Other than, why not, I guess.
Yeah, the only reason it is, basically, is to put the feud to an end, because they have been trading the belts, and I have no problem with it. I mean, both teams are really bringing out the best in each other, and I remember Cam asking the question, but honestly, if the Usos hadn't gotten hurt right when New Day got popular, this would have happened then. And the tag team division might be different just altogether on both brands if that had happened.
Yeah, and it's like the bad thing, though, is after this feud's over, who the hell else is going to come back in? I mean...
they only have Gable and Benjamin, which would put the belts back on the Usos. I wouldn't I wouldn't think that New Day would take those two on.
My thing is, I know you haven't been watching NXT. The Authors of Pain have been absent since losing. They haven't even been, they haven't appeared at all.
Oh.
So,
wow.
I'm wondering if something's going on there. I don't think it's a good idea to bring them up. But, I mean, they've kind of shifted sanity as faces now, which is just bizarre.
Oh.
Really.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the faces against O'Reilly and Fish, and...
But that's
the thing. It's like, maybe, you know, maybe this is the Uso or New Day retains, and Authors of Pain show up. I don't know. There's been no talk that I've seen, but...
Right.
It's just weird that a team that didn't lose for, what, over a year or something like that, loses one match, and all of a sudden they're gone.
But, yeah, I mean, and they had been moving in the right direction. Like, I've at least seen enough of the takeovers to know, and really enough shows in between, to see their progression is a good team. So, like, there's no reason to hold them back unless, you know, somebody pissed in somebody's Wheaties that we don't know about.
I didn't see anywhere where either one of them was hurt. I mean, being hurt would be part of it, but it's just very strange. It's honestly, it'd be like, you know, when Gargano disappeared, well, that was because, you know, they did the whole...
beatdown angle.
Yeah, and that was fine, because that's how you're supposed to do that stuff. But...
Right.
I'm trying to remember... It's Akam and Rezar, right?
Correct. I can't tell you which
is
which.
I was trying to find something about him. It's not worth it. But, yeah, it's like the Hell in a Cell gimmick. Really, it's that way for all steel cage matches, too. Like, it's, you know, it's supposed to keep people out.
And it never does.
Yeah, because it doesn't prevent anybody from running. So, I mean, the WWE rules.
Oh.
Escape the cage, you know, which is, even as a kid, I thought it was stupid. And it's still stupid.
Yeah,
especially climbing. That's the part that always gets me.
It seems so unmacho, you know, because you're in such a feud that you need to be locked inside of a cage, or there's been outside interference, so you need to keep them out. And your option against this life and death person is to climb. Like you said, like, that part is really awkward.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it at, you know, the escape part should only play up for the heels.
Oh,
you know,
right.
They're the cowards. And, you know, you're blocking the door, so like, well, the hell with this. And they try and jump over real quick. You know, get the little chicken shit thing going. That's fine. But as a face, you're climbing, you climb to the top, and you climb over, and you're like, aren't the faces supposed to be smarter than this? Just go through the door. Like, I remember as a kid at Ritual Coliseum seeing the Bulldogs versus the Hart Foundation in a cage. Well, stupid Davey Boy climbs over the top to the outside and leaves Dynamite all by himself.
Oh.
So the Hart Foundation rightfully beats the hell out of him. And then I think Neidhart left right after that, but then, you know, Dynamite made the comeback on Bret Hart, so, you know, nothing happened. But as soon as Dynamite tried climbing out or tried getting out the door, he got hit in the head. I can't remember if I believe this. He got hit in the head by Neidhart with the cage door, and then Brett just crawled over him to get out. You know, that classic finish, which really, back then, was just brutally awesome. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand, you know, doing that, but... what do I know? So,
and by that, are we all the way back to Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens being?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fight?
Yeah, because I don't get, I honestly don't understand why it was Hell in a Cell to begin with, and now it's just, you know, Well, I guess it's. You know what? Maybe we shouldn't have started the show. Not started the show. Maybe we shouldn't have been watching TV together so that we could actually, you know, pay attention. But it sure as shit seemed to me that it was Hell in a Cell and No Holds Barred at the same time. Or, I'm sorry, not No Holds Barred, but also a False Count Anywhere match.
Yeah.
So that's the first of it. It's like, why don't you just add the stipulation that's a no DQ match as well? I mean, just kind of stupid, but. Not that logically WWE's made a lot of sense this last month or so anyways, so.
Oh my god.
What?
Booker T has made the least sense out of any human being. That's why it killed me when I saw a couple of things saying how great his one whole good comment was all of last night.
You know what? I was doing something else last night, and I had the show on the computer, so I barely paid attention to the commentary. So I honestly, you saying Booker T was announcing last night, I believe you.
Well, he's just making no goddamn sense these days, and it's really rough. I don't understand why he's still around.
They brought in Lawler when all the flooding in Houston that we've all forgotten about happened, and it was like, wow, Lawler was really good. Booker T, I know he's a Hall of Famer, okay? As much as, you know, what stock you want to put into that, but he's really full of himself. And he just, it's almost obvious he doesn't watch anything. He just says whatever he wants to say, whether it goes with the storyline or not. It's the weirdest thing. He contradicts himself all the time, and Corey will call him out. Michael Cole will call him out for it. I mean, it's just, I've never seen an announcer just like, not really go to business for themselves, but just, screw it, I'm going to do what I want. Like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably an even more accurate way than I've been describing it on this show. Because you're right, like, Corey Graves has got to go, oh, fuck, I've got to be the baby face now for this one?
Yes.
Like, because Corey Graves, even though he gives him a hard time about it, he does just end up playing the other side of the fence. He's just like, well, fuck it. If this is the way he's going, I'm going to go with it. But it just makes everything really weird, though, that they flip-flop on issues.
I like Corey Graves' announcing because he's not all straight face or straight heel. He's not all straight faces either. I mean, the fact that he still hates Enzo Amore and he's, you know, a bad guy now just cracks me up. And
right,
it's like I think the last time I was on the show, I started talking about this with Enzo. How much of that stuff was real? Like that Corey Graves was saying. Because he's probably one of the guys backstage that hates his guts. So, I don't know. But we're kind of all over the place. But yeah. I mean, what did Booker even do? Or what did he say last night? That's how we started this.
Well, one, there is whatever vendetta he has with Jason Jordan is beyond any comprehension that I have. Because
I'll say right now, I zoned totally out for that match because I don't care.
And you shouldn't really. But you know, it. Hold on, shit. Why did I forget the goddamn match that we were talking about?
The match. Oh, Jason Jordan and Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's trying to find a partner. You know, because Matt didn't have any sort of success as a singles wrestler in WWE or anywhere else he went. Against Gallows and Anderson, actually.
Yeah.
a rare win for Gallows and Anderson, might I add.
Yeah, that was the only decent thing to come out of that. But still, it was like a half-assed way. Like, if they're going to keep Hardy and Jordan a team for reasons unknown to me, you know, I mean, they could really use Matt Hardy in the IC title hunt, no matter who is the champion is.
Yeah, and just have it be like a getting revenge for Jeff sort of thing.
Yeah.
No, not really revenge, because Jeff just lost clean, but...
Right. But, yeah, it seems like they're keeping them as a team, or at least I think they are going to. So, I mean, they kind of wrote the story all backwards the last 2 weeks. They should have lost to Gallows and Anderson last week, and then showed more gelling this week and won the match.
Yeah. But,
you know.
Yeah, or how about you don't break up Jordan and Gable and just leave them in an actual, you know, real tag team and let Matt just go and do his singles thing. But, you know.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, imagine this version of the Usos versus, like, Jordan and Gable. Like, an actual utilized Jordan and Gable. You know how awesome that would be? And then you mix the New Day in there as well? God damn, that would have been great. Instead, we have the Usos versus New Day and nobody else on SmackDown. Because the Fashion Police are just, like, a backstage gimmick. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for a job, but it does not help the tag team division at all.
Not in the slightest. And it's too bad, because it'd be cool if it did, but I don't see how it could.
No. No, like, because everyone knows, well, they can be a stepping stone for new teams, but the problem is that new team's probably going to be on first show, and that's going to be someone that they take on.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, honestly, I know that they debuted on Raw, but does anyone remember the Revival being on Raw? So just move them over to SmackDown when they come back. And be done with it. Because the Bar, I'm not mad about the Bar as a tag team, even though, you know, it'd be better. I think it'd be cooler if Cesaro and, you know, was on a singles kick on his own. But they're like one of those little accidental success stories.
Yeah, it's kind of, they almost have the same thing going on in each show. Like, Ambrose, well, I shouldn't say on each show, because the Usos and New Day are definitely tag teams, but Rollins and Ambrose against Cesaro and Sheamus, it's four good wrestlers wrestling each other.
Yes.
You know, and just like it is for New Day and Usos, honestly. So, what's happened in this feud's kind of been nice, because it's been a little more back and forth. Like, Anderson and Gallows just haven't gotten a chance.
Nope.
It was
funny. Just cut you off real quick. It was funny last night. They actually acknowledged that, and I had actually forgotten about this. Gallows and Anderson were the tag team champions going into WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what, did they get one shot to get them back, I think? Maybe?
I think it was only one.
And it has been downhill since. I mean, and as much as I like them, I mean, I think they're way utilized, if you want to put it that way. But as much as I like them, them using the nerds thing is really, really annoying, because it just seems forced. When, you know, everything they do is supposed to be slick or, you know, easy, whatever else. So I can't remember who called them out on that last night. I think it was, God damn, I actually can't remember who called Nala on that last night. But But like, there's like one thing that's like, you know, where they're gonna suffer. They weren't supposed to be known for like being in part of the club.
Oh,
so
right,
you know. But it's like, well, what identity did they have outside of that? And that's been an uphill battle for them. But it's, you know, I don't know what their contract situation is like, but they got plenty of time still. At least I would think to get that shit straight. But I don't know. It's like the hype and the people actually recognizing them. You know, as much as we know about New Japan, you know, it's not that big, regardless of what
Nostalgia's
fans want to say.
And it's another one of those things that them doing the nerds thing may not help them at all, but you know, it's not doing them any favors either.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
And they just New Day and Usos have had plenty of talking time, which has helped both of them out immensely. There's no until. Well, and even really recently with Sheamus and Cesaro got some segments, but they still didn't get a whole lot. But I think that the recent addition of Ambrose and Rollins have forced them into talking more, and it's been a good thing. Like, I don't think either of them are bad talkers.
No.
And they haven't gotten to show that part at all.
No, I think Cesaro was the accent. Even though the guy speaks five languages, you know, if he stutters, all of a sudden, you know, well, he can't talk. It's like, well, it's because I've got five different languages going through my head while I'm trying to speak my non-native tongue. So, yeah, I'm in a little bit of a trouble. So, you know, forgive me on that one. But, I don't know. I don't know how the hell we got on tags since we were talking about Booker T, but
well, because it is that is a makeshift tag team that's seeming to be popping up on Raw.
Yeah,
Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan. Because and that is the other thing, and you kind of touched on it in a different direction. But if you are just going to put Jordan in a tag team, why was he ever broken up with Gable? And Gable's in a tag team too. Like, someone, whether it's Matt Hardy or even Shelton Benjamin, could be used in that middle section of the card.
Yeah.
You know? Even if it's just a Guardian-type guy who gives, you know, a good veteran win to someone up and coming, or has a shot at whether it's the IC or the U.S. title.
Well,
we could solve all their problems.
Honestly, like lately, I've been like seriously questioning like some of the logic points. And I mentioned this on Messenger, I think it was last week. And this was after Strowman beat down Dean Ambrose. So this week he turns around and he beats down Seth Rollins with nary a mention that Seth Rollins was the man, you know? He wasn't just another wrestler. He was the man. He was the centerpiece of so much. And yet, Strowman destroys him. They're like, well, you know, good old Dean, just being wacky, trying to beat him. I'm like, no! He's a former WWE champion. There's no... Like, what the hell are we doing? And now, he does the same thing to Seth this week. And, you know, they mentioned, you know, he finally beat a champion, whatever, but... My God, it's 2 weeks in a row that he's beaten these guys, and it's not a huge deal. It's just, I guess to his credit, Strowman being Strowman. But this is where when he beats them, and especially beats them with the relative ease he's beating them with, the announcer should be going crazy that he just destroyed two champions in successive weeks.
Oh.
And, you know... I'm guessing that this is supposed to be keeping Strowman strong, which, you know, I'm all for, obviously. But you got to build it up. I mean, You know, I don't know who won the baseball game, like, right now. Who's winning?
Yankees. Yankees are up 7-4 right now.
Fuck. Figures. But, like, I don't know. Who won the World Series last year? This is the Cubs.
Cubs.
Right. It's kind of a bad... Oh, actually, all right, let's put it this way. Like, Clemson beat Alabama last year, all right? The year before, Alabama beat Clemson. It was a big deal because, you know, they beat the former champs. They came back, beat the former champs. You make a big deal out of it. Well, WWE land, it's just, yeah, he beat him.
Oh.
No. That's an important thing that just happened. And nothing came of it. And that's what I was talking to you about. Like, you know, they just took these guys and just made them normal. They're just two other guys. And it shouldn't be that.
And the sad thing is that, I mean, they don't have anyone with any kind of relevance other than those two to take that beating. Like, I looked through their roster last week because I thought that to myself. I'm like, oh my God, is Dean Ambrose all they have to put in this position? Because, like you said, they wanted to keep Strowman strong again. I started running through it, and I'm like, man, the only other thing that kind of meets that criteria is Titus O'Neil. But, I mean,
That's a giant step down, my friend.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's...
Yeah, I don't even dislike Titus, that's just the fact.
I know that, but yeah. I'm just saying, that's about the closest thing that I could find after Ambrose and Rollins. You know, like, they needed, like, credible singles guys that Strowman could look strong on. I would almost think that you'd need to have a feud with all three of those guys at some juncture of their careers.
You got me perplexed now because I'm trying to think of somebody else, and I'm kind of coming up blank. Like on Raw, yeah, it couldn't be Bray. It can't be Finn because he's going against Lesnar next, whenever that happens. Boy. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean,
honestly, I mean, like I said, I went through the roster last week, and I'm like, nope, doesn't fit. It's really thin. Like I said, that's why it makes all the sense in the world to have someone that's involved in these tag team wars here somewhere in the mid card for the WWE.
Yeah, funny.
It would really help out.
If they would have come up with something planned for, like, Sheamus and Cesaro, that maybe, you know, this wouldn't have happened instead of putting them in a tag team, which, you know, it's worked out swimmingly well, so you can't really complain too much. But it is like, you know, little better planning, and maybe they would have somebody for Strowman to go against and just run roughshod. But because right now, you know, for good or bad for those guys, James and Cesaro are tag team wrestlers now. And, WWE likes feeding their tag teams, like, to the big guys. So, I guess and that kind of goes to my point of, like, that's what happened with Dean and Seth now. They're just tag team wrestlers.
And
that's why this whole Shield thing to me is kind of ringing hollow right now because, do you remember the Shield losing?
Not too frequently.
Yeah, you know who they lost to? The Wyatts. You know who else they lost to? That's it. Nobody else. There are no tag team losses with the entire Shield, except for that one match. There's a singles matches few and far between as well. So having like this now supposed Shield reunion to go against the Bar and the Miz, which is, you know, honestly far superior to the Miztourage, but okay. It'll be cool, I guess, but I just saw those guys get their asses handed to them by, you know, a superior foe, which never happened. So it's just kind of weird to me. That's all. I mean, they're not weird, but just not as interesting as it could have been. I mean, imagine, I would have lost my fucking mind, by the way. But imagine Dean and Seth back-to-back weeks beats Braun Strowman. Then they get together, and you're like, oh my God, they're getting back together to take over all over again. Now it's just, here, you guys wanted it, so here's your nostalgia act for the next thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, I thought that they were going to stretch this out a little bit longer than they already did. Like, I figured they did enough hinting that it would come eventually. And, I mean, it's not like their pay-per-view is on Sunday. So, Raw's, that is. So,
yeah,
you know, there's no reason to rush it. I mean, they held out on Ambrose, just recently held out on Ambrose and Rollins being a tag team until, like, practically a week before the pay-per-view, so why you needed to pull the trigger on this one now is a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, I would have figured they would just wait till Survivor Series. Just have that match then, you know?
Yeah. It seems like a natural fit for a Survivor Series style match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially, I don't know, I don't think as much as big as the bar is, or is it R, whatever, like, their team, and then The Miz, like, no offense, The Miz is awesome on the mic, but they've done nothing for his credibility, so it's like,
oh,
cool, another match where Miz is going to take the fall, you know, and nothing else is going to come of it, so it'd almost be, honestly, it would be awesome if it was Strowman and the bar. But they're kind of letting Strowman be a face right now. I mean, they showed that footage of Off the Air from Raw last week where he goes in, kills Enzo, and then invites the cruiserweights in. And that's a total face move.
And he has the crowd chanting one more time.
Yes. So, yeah, and that's what cracked me up about Enzo's thing last night. I don't disagree with him. And, you know, these people are all up there yelling, you know, one more time, whatever. Yeah, I tell them to go to hell, too. But,
oh,
you know?
That's another one, kind of like Gallows and Anderson, that I don't feel like they've invested the time in any one of these guys to get them over. Like, Neville is the only guy that has gotten a consistent build-up of any sort.
They gave Jack Gallagher a pretty good run, but then out of the blue, he turned heel the other day. I was like, what? So,
oh.
I don't know. I don't watch 205 Live every week. I don't have time. I just simply don't have time to watch that show every week. So I can't say how much they give these guys, but it seems pretty clear they don't give them a lot.
Well, yeah, they don't give them much on SmackDown or on Raw itself, despite the fact that it is a whopping 3 hours of television.
Which they clearly have given up on the second hour.
You mean second to third?
Yes. No, I meant, yes, sorry. I meant the final hour.
The final hour.
Although, okay. So, we've complained that it's too long with 3 hours. But then I was listening to I was reading something on Forbes, which, as you pointed out, is always weird that Forbes covers wrestling. Well, they were saying that they get $50 million a year for that third hour. That's a lot of money for an extra hour of TV. And with the ratings for that third hour going down, why not do something different with it? you want to build your cruiserweight brand up, I mean, why not? You know, why not? Why not bump it up and put your cruiserweights in at the end? You know, it's, yeah, I understand you're taking a chance, but it's better than, you know, another worthless tag match with, you know, this guy and this guy. Although, who did you think was coming out? Just to get off subject real quick. Who did you think was coming out last night?
Not Kalisto.
No. I immediately start going through the NXT roster. Like, all right. I was like, is Johnny Gargano getting pulled up? I was all excited. And, you know, it's not, you know, it's obviously not Kalisto's fault, but it all of a sudden I was like, Kalisto! And I was like, did someone just fart in a paper bag here? Because this is awful.
Well, why did my wife just give me a Dutch oven? What the hell's going on
and
here?
Yeah, like, ugh. And, all right, now this is a knock on him. You are, you know, you're now going to be like this big centerpiece guy. You're in the main event slot, this and this. And you come out in that outfit, that was not a good outfit. And I don't know, I'm the guy that's always talking about fashion on the show, which is ironic, but he wore way more compassed, way more intricate outfits, and he came out in what looked like dirty white. And I'm just looking at this thing going, ugh, that is not the way, that is not the way to make an impression on your audience, in the least bit.
I found it really weird that he went with the black eye paint in the eye holes of the mask. That seems like way more of a heel color to have in there than, you know, something bright like that.
Yeah.
I thought that that was a weird choice. I guess I didn't pay. I wasn't that worried about the jacket that he wore.
Yeah, I don't know. We've seen what he looks like. Get the special treatment. Well, then, sir, you need to do the special treatment. I mean, I don't know. I honestly, it was a rise of expectations for no reason, because the next NXT TakeOver, Gargano's taking on is it Almas again?
Oh.
I think he's taking on Almas. Oh. But and they can't have Johnny Gargano leave NXT yet anyways until Ciampa comes back. So,
oh.
I don't know where I got that in my head. But then I'm just thinking like of other people. Like I don't know who else it could have been. So.
Yeah, I didn't really have a name pop into my head. But I was just like, oh, who are they calling up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was my immediate thought. Like, it was not, oh, I'm ready for Kalisto.
That's, yes, and that's not our fault.
And so. That's the other kind of weird thing about the situation, is that Kalisto isn't really good on the mic either.
Nope.
So it's
no,
just,
he is not.
You know, he's another guy that's mostly in ring, and that's how he's gotten over. So, you know, I guess if you want the guy talking to be the champion, I mean, he could be a champion for a long time, because won't all the eyeballs that he's bringing tune out after he finally loses? I mean, isn't he going to be that kind of champion? Like, you're just waiting for that loss to happen?
Yes.
And then when it happens, I mean, they've got to do something more with the division.
And that's one of the big things, man, is, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Like, Enzo's there right now as a responsibility. Like, his responsibility is to get everybody else over. There's no doubt about that. You know, that is literally his job.
Oh, right.
And once he loses, I don't know what happens to him. But it's also up to all those other guys to step it up, including the writers. I mean,
Oh.
I don't know if they even give a shit about the cruiserweights, to be honest. They probably just look at it as like, we've got all these guys, we gotta do something with them. So let's just keep doing this thing, and then we'll go from there. But, I mean, you know, they gave Enzo this platform. For whatever reason, they gave Enzo this platform, all right? He does his job just fine. It's up to everybody else to get their act together and, you know,
well,
make it happen as well.
The funny thing is it's... It's going to be tough just because at some point you need Enzo in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a problem, yes.
So, you know, there's going to be a time where it's just not going to cut it. You know, like, there's going to be a disconnect in that division.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. He's going through, he was running and down all the wrestlers. He let Tozawa off the hook because he said something nice to him on Instagram, on Twitter. I think it was. But then, you know, he's going all over all the stuff. I'm like, well, he's not exactly wrong. I mean, Cedric Alexander is a hell of a wrestler. What was his big thing? It was him and Alicia Fox, right?
Yeah.
You know, whether it's his fault or not, that's still the biggest thing he's done. And, yeah, that's the biggest thing he's done. And then he got hurt and was gone for a while. So, you know, I don't know. When we listen to the same podcast, we always hear him talking, you know, especially the Cody Rhodes one still stuck with me.
Oh,
when it was the, you know, give me chicken salad for a change instead of chicken shit.
Yeah.
And that's where I wonder if some of these cruiserweights may or may not feel the same way. Just like, let's get out of our way, let us go do our stuff, and, you know, what made the Cruiserweight Classic special was it was in a small audience of like-minded wrestling fans where all we had to do was depend on the angles. I'm sorry, the matches, not angles. And the Cruiserweights just got totally away from that because they put them in front of a large audience like this.
Oh.
I mean, what do you expect? It's gonna turn into this like, almost a drama show, drama production, whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, they did the little, because they moved over, like, shortened versions of the vignette pieces for the wrestlers, but I mean, there still needs to be more interaction talking in the ring on Raw, as opposed to 205 Live. Like, I know that Enzo isn't wrong saying that he got them into the main event of Raw, which is generally a shit show these days anyway, like you said. And Chris was the first one that I remember really start harping on it, that really the 9 o'clock hour is the true main event of the show now, for the most part. And then that 10 o'clock time slot's just for they're throwing shit at a wall, or it's stuff that's kind of main event, but not really.
I'll be curious to see what happens with the 10 o'clock hour once football's over. Because it's funny because I still remember those old commercials where, you know, they were just taunting the NFL because they're beating them in the ratings back then.
Oh. Yeah.
And now, you know, they don't even bother counter programming, you know, because they know it's not going to work. And that's why I think when football season's over, you know, I'll be real curious to see with the 10 o'clock hour what happens to it. And especially, I mean, can you get people, you know, back again after all this? Because Monday Night Football goes till December, right? Yeah, it'll be December. So you're going to have it go all the way to December. And so we got, what, 2 months now
of this
stuff happening to where you're going to tell the audience, hey, that's the last hour. Don't worry about it. And now when football season ends, you're like, no. Hey, it matters again. It matters again. It matters again. No, guys, come back.
It's either that or they just know that they have, for the most part, their fans. And I don't know. I, like, I don't know how else to hook them in, like, because most of the times I enjoy whatever's on at 10 o'clock.
What do you mean? Like on Raw?
Because a lot of times it's like a, because I believe they've had a women's tag match and some other fairly good matches, and I'm trying to think of what took place last night that wasn't really the main event.
The main event, if you want to put it that way, like the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
That was the Enzo stuff.
Yeah.
It was him berating the cruiserweights again. So
yeah, it was the same basic segment as last week, except he actually had time to talk about all the other wrestlers.
Yeah. And then we got that giant surprise in Kalisto showing up. So I mean which is bags. It sounds like I'm just bagging on Kalisto and I'm not. Because the guy's he wins crowds over when he's out there.
It was him and Ryback at WrestleMania in a singles match for the Intercontinental title. They at least thought that much of him. That happened at some point. And I feel like, hasn't it more been injuries that have derailed him more than anything else?
Be honest, I don't think so.
Oh. Okay, so they just stopped using him?
I don't know that much about him, though.
Well, I mean, he just seemed like a natural fit for 205 Live. Like, I don't know why. He's another guy that's just like, why didn't you just have him in there from the get-go? Or at least after the Cruiserweight Championship had ended. You know, you had a couple of guys in both Neville and Kalisto that just should have been thrown in there to help the credibility of the division just from the jump, rather than all new faces, despite how popular they may be indie-wise. Like, they're all new faces to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are still new faces to even people who didn't Cruiserweight Classic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cruiserweight Classic, you know, it had its, obviously had its people watching, but, you know, and I'm going to talk out of side of my mouth on this because I don't think, but we're getting 5 million, wow, that was generous, you're getting 3 million people a night watching it, or SmackDown for that matter, too, right?
Yeah, because they're both basically the same thing at this point. I don't feel like their ratings are all that much different.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, watching Raw, though, like, it's kind of refreshing them just saying, hey, don't worry about the 10 o'clock hour.
Oh.
Like, cool. No problem, man. So I can go and do something else? Sweet. I will gladly do that. So you will get no arguments from me on that one.
Yeah, so, well,
much appreciated, Vince.
And I am kind of interested. Much like you, I'm still not watching 205 Live. With or without Enzo, I don't really care. I want to see. I still think that they can have more in, on Raw itself, just because of the long show time period.
Yeah,
but you know, it's still probably not going to carry over for me one way or the other.
See, all right. I'd watch 205 Live if I didn't have 3 hours of Raw and then 2 hours of SmackDown the next day. And then the next day, an hour of NXT. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. An hour of the Cruiserweights on Tuesday after SmackDown. Like, wait a minute, you want me to watch 6 hours of wrestling in one night or in two nights? Not including when we have a 3-hour, you know, pay-per-view with a hour pre-show. Like, guys, I'm a wrestling fan, but that's pushing it, guys. I mean, it's really pushing it. It's like, I got a job that I'm really, you know, I probably shouldn't be watching this stuff at work, but, you know.
Yeah, there is just a ridiculous amount of content out there, period, end of sentence, no matter what it is at this juncture. And WWE is no different, and I can't remember when they were when everyone was talking about that New Japan tournament that was going on, like
the G1.
Yeah, the G1. Like I forget how many ridiculous amount of hours there were in that thing.
Uh huh.
And it's just,
you know,
like,
how many hours of that I saw?
None. Yeah, so
I said about 45 minutes to an hour of it. And that's just because, not because I didn't want to. Man, I mean, this is a cheap plug. Sheed and I do We Watch Stuff. And before the show this week, he was actually asking me, hey, what's the last movie you saw? I couldn't remember what the last movie. Oh, it turned out to be Valerian and the World of Tomorrow or whatever.
Oh,
which is the exact reason I forgot what movie I saw in the theater. And so I was like, God damn, that's really bad. Cause I want to see Mother. I want to see It just for the hell of it. I gotta get to see Kingsman still.
Oh yeah. That did just come out, didn't it?
Yeah. Did you see the first one, by the way?
Yeah.
Really totally. Good.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Even the even the wife liked that one, so.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing, is like, yeah, alright, so, but I gotta make that commitment to go to the theater to see that stuff. So that's, you know, and I think Kingsman 2 is like 2 hours and 20 minutes. 20 minutes of preview, you know, travel time, all this stuff. I'm looking at 4 hours, 3 hours total time, like total time commitment. So there's 4 hours that's basically Raw and something else. And then I got to put in New Japan, and then not including, we cover like all the like comic book shows. Well, right. I'm sorry, not all of them, because I don't watch Gotham because I don't have time. The Gifted just started last night. I ain't watching that. There's the Runaways coming to ABC Family or whatever it's called. Cloak and Dagger coming to Freeform. I'm like, I don't have time. I enjoy going outside. And then add on top of that, football season started. So Saturdays are my big day. If Michigan plays at noon, don't bother me until it's over. And then depending on how it goes, I may watch some other games. But so there, that whole weekend shot. I don't have 3 hours to go somewhere, let alone try and tap into some more wrestling. Oh, and then Sunday, the NFL's on all day, just like Saturday college football is. So, you know, I guess it's a good problem to have, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
But my God, there's just so much on that you can't possibly get it all and have a job, I guess, or a job that allows you to watch all this stuff, which neither one of us have currently.
No, and not really in the foreseeable future either.
No. Well, with my company, I don't know. So I may have in a couple of weeks, when I can finally pay my cable bill again, I may be able to sit there and go, yeah, you know, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Because I'll have all the time in the world. So.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I can say that I will not see this week, my DVR decided to forget all of the settings. So it did not tape Ring of Honor over the weekend.
That's a discussion that didn't, like a show that didn't even occur to me. An hour of that. And then now that I subscribe to the TNA network, I really don't have any time.
Oh, that killed me.
You know, of all the wrestling friends we have, has any one of them talked to you or told you that they have the TNA service?
No.
Exactly. I can't tell you the last time I watched that show. I even stopped watching just the highlight stuff that someone put together on YouTube for free. And I don't know. I guess I can't find 20 minutes to do it, but when you see the same problems, garbage, it's just like, why? Why do this to yourself?
Oh, yeah. I didn't ever think he was terrible, but when I saw that Eli Drake was the champion defending against someone, I'm like, you're kidding me, right?
Were Eli Drake the champion? When the hell that happened?
I think he was, or he was challenging for the championship.
Oh, wow.
I think he's gone from the company now.
No, that couldn't happen. I take that back. Yes, it could happen. Yes, I take that back immediately. But that's wild.
I think so. I don't know. I don't really care about TNA. So
now someone just left from there. Oh, Robbie E just left. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, but okay.
Oh, yeah, current GFW Global Champion.
Yeah, Eli Drake, right?
Eli Drake.
Okay. I was just making sure. We were just discussing, wait a minute, he might have left, but...
Oh, yeah, I was wrong. Completely wrong, okay. Evidently.
No, I don't really have any opinion on him outside of that Hey Dummy thing when he was doing his show. Which, you know, he's a heel, so I guess it's supposed to be like that, but, you know, being TNA, it always just seemed cheap.
Oh, but, yeah, go figure.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, Tyrus just left.
Tyrus?
Yeah, I don't know why I call him Tyrus, to be honest. I knew that didn't sound right, but I was like, I'm just going with it. But he's probably busy filming season 2 of GLOW anyways. So he doesn't need their shitty cheap money. Or lack of cheap money, I should say.
Nah, he was cracking me up on Preacher.
You know what? I totally forgot to keep watching that show.
Gotcha.
God damn it. So he's on there. Alright.
Yes. Yeah. He is one of the members of Hell.
Oh, is he? All right, cool. Yeah, the last episode I saw that I remember is, what's his name? Saint of Killers was buried in the,
in the truck.
Fan. In the,
yep.
So, God damn it.
Yep, there's still some ways to go. I just finished it maybe a couple of days ago.
Is it worth picking back up? I was enjoying it. I just forgot to keep watching.
Yeah, it was really fun. Because I don't remember a lick from the comic books. I really have meant to dig those out to reread those. And because I don't remember how long into the series I was either before I stopped reading the comic.
Well, I'll tell you this: the show is so far off of the comic that they're really two different things. What this second season so far to me had gotten right was they've gotten the spirit of it, like the weirdness of everything, violence especially. you know, and since it's on AMC, they're not going to swear all that much, which is fine because even in the comic, it got a little long-winded after a while. It's like normal people don't talk this way. And not that anything's normal about, you know, the Preacher. But,
right.
So you get that, and it was, you know, I'm trying to think of they changed so much, and that first season was such a waste of time. I mean, absolute, utter waste of time. So, I don't know. They got the Santa Killers right. They kind of had the relationship with everybody. But, like, that whole New Orleans part, that was supposed to be, in the comic, they went to a vampire club. And Cassidy is basically just making fun of everybody there. Because they're all talking like they're out of an Anne Rice novel.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, who are you? Like, what? And that was the whole thing. Which I guess, I don't know if that would really translate to modern, like, right now. Because, you know, the current Anne Rice novels would be Twilight books.
Oh.
So I guess they could have done something with that. But, you know, they didn't. But yeah, like, the whole Santa Killers thing with him getting the soul and all that's not in there. There's a lot that's not in the comics that's
pretty much
the entire series. Like, Tulip wasn't married. Tulip was also a fragile girl. Not this hard as nails thing, which, I mean, having everybody in a show be a badass isn't fun. So, you know, like, Cassidy being kind of a coward, even though, you know he can come back from the dead or not die. That's fine, but that was the whole, like, Tulip's arc was she was fragile, and as she went on, she became increasingly stronger. Especially after she lost Jesse, she had her time, and then she snaps out, and she's, you know, ready to put herself back in line. Well, in this, it's just, she's just a badass the whole way through. Like, that's not fun. That's not a character arc. You know?
Right.
But, that being said. But yeah, no, I just, we just kind of forgot to keep watching that show. I think because
we watched stuff, 118.
And, even though they're two different days, it just totally,
no, it's the same
just
day.
Just my attention away from it.
Oh, yeah, it is different. It was different days.
Yeah, they moved it to Monday, which I thought was a mistake, but then I realized it was going to go against Game of Thrones. Well, actually, it wouldn't have, because they had it on at 10 last year. So.
Oh, would have been on.
I just don't understand. Maybe this is suddenly, since there's no We Watch stuff this week, I just don't understand where people get the time for all this stuff. I honestly don't. Like, you don't have Netflix, do you?
No, I don't.
Alright. We just started watching Stranger Things, because we're like months behind, or a year behind by this point. That show's pretty cool. And like, we were just lazy as hell Sunday. That's the only reason we were able to fit 5 episodes in to one day.
Right.
We still have 3 left, but I'm like, who has time for, like, is this something people really do? Is just sit around all day and not do anything?
I would have to think so.
Advocate like a healthy. I mean, I'm not like, you know, you just get out there and live a healthy lifestyle, but goddamn, some of these Netflix shows are 12 episodes long. You wake up, you sleep 8 hours. So you got 4 hours out of the day to do something else. What, cook food that you're going to sit and watch TV with? Which, mind you, in my college days, instead of going to class, that was a fine idea. So, hence why I'm where I'm at. But yeah, so going back to the wrestling part of it, fucking time for all this stuff.
Oh.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so that's why I... Whether Enzo is there or not, 205 Live is not getting... these two extra eyeballs, at least.
Nice way to bring it back around. I forgot that's not how it all started. So.
Yeah, and I don't know. We kind of tiptoed through a lot of different topics. But I don't know. Is there something that you don't think that we covered that we need to get around to? Because...
It's such a non-thing, and it'd be funnier if Chris was here. But Baron Corbin losing to Ty Dillinger better not predicate that means he beat AJ Styles for the United States Championship this week. weekend at Hell in a Cell. Because right now, SmackDown, with no John Cena anymore, their biggest stars are Randy Orton, AJ Styles. That's what that main event scene should be. So if they want to just get the title off AJ Styles, that's fine. You know, that's absolutely fine with me. But if it's just going to be a way to extend the feud between AJ Styles and Baron Corbin, fuck that noise. That is an utterly terrible idea.
Yeah, and having him lose one of those matches does him zero favors.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like, if you do want him in a lengthy feud with Styles, he just needs to win that match and start that, at least process again of making him a believable threat to Styles' title.
Yeah. And he's not. And it's just the way he's been booked. And Styles even pointed it out today. You're going to choke away another opportunity, something like that. And he's not wrong. So, I don't know, man. If AJ Styles loses as a means to get the title off of him and for WrestleMania, and I'm booking WrestleMania for us because I'm really worried about this main event this year, but you have AJ Styles go in and your SmackDown main event is Nakamura and AJ Styles. Nobody else. That's it. Jinder Mahal, peace out, dude. That's fun. Enough of you. Not that you're all of you. Don't care. I'm in the blame game. I'm in the results game, so if you're out. Kevin Owens. He should be, but right now they got him sticking around Shane McMahon. But then you put Bobby Roode up there, have him turn heel, which is just pugnant that he can face. Ugh. The most unbelievable face they have.
Yeah. And he still acted like a heel tonight. It was a double heel segment. It's one of the darndest things.
Let me stop here real quick. It was a heel segment because there's only one woman in that segment. I refuse to acknowledge Dolph anymore. Just, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. Whether it's Dolph's fault or not, don't care. I'm done.
Bobby Roode
was just talking to nobody.
I did think that he actually articulated his point better than he has at any juncture. I think we've all discussed that this ship has certainly sailed 100% on the old Dolph Meister at this point. So
Dolph's ship is looking for that old bitch to throw the diamond in at the end. That's how sunken his ship is by now. So, yeah, which is a shame, because I remember we used to rail on the show, like, what are they doing with him? Why aren't they using him? Why aren't they doing this? And now it's like, just put the dog out of his misery, you know? Like, enough of this stuff. Like, just
we're
sabotaging him.
We're ready to old yeller him.
Yeah. And this is where, I don't know if he'd want to do, but this is where the indies, I think, would be good for him. Was it Cody Rhodes talking about it?
About Zack Ryder going
Zack
to
Ryder,
the Indies.
Yeah. But just like the getting out of WWE may be good for him. I think Jericho might have said it.
Well,
there's so many options now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Rhodes might have said it, but Jericho agreed with him or something like that. You know.
Yeah.
And whatever, whomever said it, really, between the two, the other agreed to it. So, you know, it's one of those things just like, yeah. And that might help Ziggler if he got out of the bubble. Like, he is really one of the few people on the roster right now that hasn't ever gotten out of there. You know, because almost all the guys... I mean, you can't bring in someone without, obviously, them being from somewhere else.
Yeah, nowadays for sure.
Yeah.
They keep saying the performance center's working, but the guys who are making on the roster are the guys that were, well, AJ wasn't even there, or they've been in the indies for so long, made their name somewhere else. So
yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty much it. So, should we do predictions for Hell in the Cell real fast?
Sure, why not?
Alright, I'm going, basically, I'm going with Nakamura, because if he doesn't win, he's dead.
And that would be another strange one. You were talking about them setting up Baron Corbin, possibly, to win. Nakamura got his ass handed to him tonight.
Yeah, when he was getting the upper hand, I was like, oh no. Because they're going on a tour of India, and Jinder's going. And I was honestly thinking, they're going to have him beat Nakamura for this ridiculous notion that the people of India actually give a shit about WWE. But we'll see. I'm going to guess AJ Styles wins, even though my gut really, really does make me think he's going to lose. I think I said New Day the first time around. I guess it depends on my, my hypothetical authors of pain. I'll go New Day. Smart money, Shane McMahon, but I'm going to go with Kevin Owens on the kickoff of Gable and Benjamin win. I think Natty retains as well. Even though Charlotte lost, I still think Natty retains. They may want Charlotte to have the title with her when she's doing her book signing, though. I didn't think of that. All right, so never mind, Charlotte wins. As far as I know, that's everything, right?
That's all that I can think of. I mean, this was not exactly a gem of a go-home show. The only segment that I really liked, it goes back to the tag teams with the Usos and New Day. So,
that was a great segment.
The rest of them, I guess there was hype, but hoo-wee. Yeah. So you started with Nakamura. I'm going to agree with that one. Just because, it would be really weird if Nakamura got the beatdown and then lost on top of that. I mean, he'd be dead enough if he lost the match by itself. But to have him get beat down, then lose. Yikes. Yeah. I suppose I see Charlotte winning. Like, Natty really hasn't been put in the spotlight.
Not at all.
The women's champ. Like, she's kind of been a peripheral character. Her and Naomi were peripheral characters a lot to the stuff going on around them. Uh-huh. And Charlotte seems to be getting a lot of hype, and Carmella's still getting a lot too, having the Money in the Bank briefcase. So, whatever's happening in the women's division is going to be a three-woman thing until, she finally does cash it in. But with the book signing, I wouldn't think that now would be that time.
Yeah.
I think Shane McMahon is finally going to win one of his grudge matches. Like, I mean, don't you have to win at some point to remain credible? But it's...
You would think, yes.
Kind of odd that Kevin Owens might be the guy that's going to do that job. But then again, like, I mean, he's fighting all high-profile guys. Shane McMahon is fighting all high-profile guys. So you can't really... Like, all of them are probably going to look weird to see that loss happening. But that was another one, though, that Shane really got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
I mean, really got his ass kicked.
About it, but oof, yes, he did.
I mean, he got power bombed on a table, and then he whooped his ass again when Shane made his way back down to the ring.
I'm not gonna say he looked old, but yeah, he looked gassed. Like, yeah, he like legit got his ass handed to him. So,
oh, right.
It was different because you don't usually see that. I mean, the McMahon characters, you know, they'll come down a little bit, but you know, they always get up. And Shane got up and then got put right back down. So that yeah, was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Benjamin and Gable, and then the hype bros.
Oh yeah, whatever. They're
this could be the end of the hype bros, Kevin. If they lose,
yeah, it could be, and that's okay with me. you know, I don't know if I have the hate for Mojo that Chris has, but. There isn't a whole lot there for me either.
No, I feel nothing for Mojo.
Yeah, like so I don't really hate him, but man, I don't really care about him either. Like the guy seems like a really nice guy, and he seems at least decent in the ring for kind of that power guy. but he still doesn't seem to be able to put a match together well. Because they haven't given him anything like that to even think about working on.
He won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yep.
That's true. Hey, that's all I had, actually. So.
Wait,
No, AJ Styles and Baron Corbin.
I'm going with AJ Styles. I just... Dear God, I hope.
Nervous about this one now, so.
Yeah, I really hope that Corbin doesn't happen. Like it's just weird if that happens.
Oh, Corbin's happened, my friend. That's part of the problem. He's already happened, so now it's just a matter of how long he's going to keep happening. So.
This is true.
Yeah, but. Yeah, but I think that's about it. So,
well,
I just need to remember what we said for next Tuesday show. So, I guess it'd be you being Chris. So,
yes, I will be at a concert, so I will not be taping on Tuesday. But
I forgot about that.
For now, yes. Right. I will send off with the Belltime Beer of the Night Magnon from Actual Brewing IPA, 7.3% alcohol, 58 IBUs. A solid amount of bitterness to go along with some floralness, so I like that one quite a bit, and I'm glad I picked up a six pack when last time I was in their brewery. So for Wienerfest, I could have. It's an Oktoberfest celebration.
I know. It's just I'm five, so. Wieners. So, all right, kids. Well, listen, all social media, follow us, Stunt Granny, your podcast platform. You can find us at Stunt Granny. I do We Watch Stuff. There won't be a show this week, though, with Shahid. So check out last week's episode. It was fun. Depending on your, I don't even think political scale, but just depending on where you lay, you may like the show, you may not like it, but tough shit. It's our show. It's what we want to talk about. So anyways, I'm out of here. have a good night, and Chippy Kaye, Fothermuckers.